Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures. And it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at camh.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. Mark Burry, author of an upcoming book. What's it called?
It's called The Killing Game, and the subtitle escapes me right now.
Can't remember the subtitle of your own book.
Well, we changed it a whole bunch of times. There's stuff about dreams and death, and it's the Mark Burry subtitle. There's got to be something in there about gore or death or some unpleasant thing, and yet my life is so utterly peaceful, it's ridiculous.
Man of peace, Mark Burry. Welcome back to Canada Land Shortcuts.
Yeah, bless you, my son.
This episode of Shortcuts is brought to you by Laura Hill, Puneet Mistry, Jason Moore, Shane Gunster, Jeanette Ageson, Bill Pegler, Stephen Keelback, Matt Devlin, and Carson Crothers. Carson, why did you decide to be awesome?
Because you make efforts to hold yourself and the organization accountable for your stories and views. That alone is worth my support.
This episode is also brought to you by FreshBooks.com. FreshBooks is, of course, the site, the service, the app that you should be using if you are a freelancer or a small business or an entrepreneur. Mark, how do you do your accounting? How do you do your billing?
I'm going to start using FreshBooks because they sound really good and they're a lot better than the back of the envelope in a desk drawer system that I use now.
I think that there are a lot of people who had accounting and billing for many years, veteran freelance writers, finding that they can save a lot of time with an app like this. And you can use it. The mobile app is incredible. It's really useful for expenses, which used to take me a ton of time to file all the invoices and receipts.
I'm starting to bill by the hour for some stuff, so I definitely need something better than writing crap down and losing it.
It's great for time tracking, and it's great for you just take a picture of each receipt and then you can throw the receipt away. You don't have to have all those little pieces of paper in your wallet. FreshBooks.com. Try it for free for 30 days. And when you do become a customer, tell them who sent you. Painless billing, cloud accounting, FreshBooks.com. Check it out. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We hear a lot about the opioid crisis. We talk a lot about the mental health crisis. These are serious problems. These problems affect us all. They've affected my life and my community. They're not intractable problems. I don't know what's going to solve them on a policy level, but day to day, helping people, that's what CAMH does. They do it on the ground when people need help, and they do it through research. The team at CAMH gave our team a tour of their facilities, and we were really just blown away by the incredible heroic work that they're doing every day. They treat everyone with dignity, and their research is seeking and finding real solutions for everyone around the world. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. It's the end game, Mark. Dirty tricks, last days of the campaign. We're going to go through what each of the parties seem to be up to. And if anyone wants links to this stuff, go check out CanadaLandShow.com. We'll link to the stories about these dirty tricks.
It's freak time. It's accusations by one party that another party spreading rumors that its candidate is dying. That happened in Quebec. It's wacky time. It's the prime minister running around in shirt sleeves looking like Monty Hall. It's totally freaky. You don't see this very often, so you'll take a good look at it.
Okay, hold on one second, because I'm going to call you back, because you're breaking up a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Mark?
Hello.
Okay, well, let's run through the dirty tricks in these final days. The NDP keeps repeating the idea that they can win and that they're just a hair away from winning, whatever the polls say. So they keep repeating that they only need 35 more seats. They only need 35 more seats. And they're doing some very tricky representation of the polls to show that they're just, you know, like, they don't listen to the media. They could take this thing yet. Have you caught any of that messaging?
Yeah, and you don't own a seat. Every seat is up for grabs. So the Liberals are right on that one, that everybody starts with zero, even the Tories. There's no such thing as a safe seat in this country. I think that's finally going to get through to a lot of people. There were seats that the Bloc thought were safe, that the NDP took, that seats that the NDP thought were safe 2 months ago that it looks like the Liberals are going to take, especially in Quebec. No, they don't own the seats that they've got, and they can't make predictions based on anything other than what's in front of them right now. And what's in front of them right now is the fact that they really screwed up this campaign. They lost it themselves.
I mean, that we've been hearing that, you know, be it that they got outflanked on the left by letting Trudeau, you know, run the deficit, you know, they moved too far to the center, or we keep hearing that it's because Mulcair stuck to his guns with the niqab thing, but you think that the NDP blew it.
Yeah, I do. I don't think the niqab, if the niqab thing was as big as people said, it would be the Tories and the Bloc that would be making a lot more out of it. So I think basically it became a referendum about Stephen Harper and Tom Mulcair. So you had two grumps and a happy young man, and it turned out that it seems anyway so far that people would prefer to have a happy young man around than either of those two pricks.
Well, I'm going to return to that idea of what we know about what people want, but let's keep going and looking at what all the parties are doing in these last moments. The Liberals, you alluded to this earlier, this is crazy, and we don't know that this is true yet, but the NDP is saying that the Liberals in Hull Aylmer are spreading the word that the NDP incumbent is terminally ill and on the verge of dying. That's what they're telling voters, according to the NDP.
Yeah, I haven't seen any real proof of that. That's a riding that could go Liberal. So if anybody's going to do any dirty tricks somewhere, that would be actually prime ground. Nicole Tremel is a thin, older woman who looks exactly the same as she has for the past 10 years, even longer when she was head of the public service union. So if they're getting that from some sort of the look of her thing, no, she's not going anywhere. If they're spreading that, I mean, who's spreading what? You know, when you think about it, as somebody, I don't know, somebody just some jerk said, hey, she doesn't look too good. Or are they actually going around from house to house saying this woman's on death's door? Really, it doesn't really matter, because there really were rumors about Jack Layton in the last election that, you know, unfortunately turned out to be true. And yet people still voted NDP. So whether or not that would change their vote, that's still up in the air. Maybe she would get a sympathy vote if she was dying.
You know what I'd like to know? It feels like there's a little bit of light between what a party has decided is their official messaging. Like NDP saying, oh, we're only 35 seats away. That's obviously official messaging. Mulcair is saying that. Peggy Nash is saying that. That's their line. They're trying to tell the voter that they're just 35 seats away. But when you get to this level of, oh, we've heard four reports that, I don't know, volunteers, canvassers are spreading this rumor about the NDP incumbent. It might be true, and yet it might not be official Liberal messaging. It might be the kind of thing that, you know, amongst the people who are knocking on doors, they may just be, you know, like there might be some rogue agents, or there might be unofficial messaging where people start to agree, you know, kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we're going to start spreading this information. And again, we don't know at all that this is true in this particular writing.
If a drunk kicks over a campaign sign, sometimes it makes the papers. You can even get totally paranoid and start talking about false flag things where a whole bunch of sides get defaced except one candidate. And maybe, you know, maybe that's not what it seems. There are a lot of people out there who are political amateurs and political professionals who don't get to do this very often. It's sort of like a cross between Halloween and Christmas for them. And they're out there doing as much as they can in the last week, because everybody, including some NDPers, think that they can win this election. And that's a huge prize.
You know, the country is split. Maybe it's split in three. And there's nothing that isn't partisan. There's nothing that isn't politicized. There's nothing you can say right now that 66% of the country won't jump on you for, because this is, you know, it's for all the marbles, and people, like, there's no small stories, it feels like, right now.
Yeah, and the media is getting caught up in this too, in the sense that everything that gets written now is attacked. If in any site where there's comments still allowed, you see nothing but attacks of the newspaper or of the journalist by that 66% that don't agree with what he or she wrote. It's almost impossible to poke your head up without some kind of buckshot coming at you from somewhere.
And finally, the conservatives in these last days of dirty tricks, these ads in the Chinese and Punjabi press linking Trudeau to safe injection sites. This is the kind of thing that if you say the words, it doesn't sound as bad as if you see the pictures. They're linking Trudeau to safe injection sites in the establishment of neighborhood brothels.
The government is going to set up brothels. That's what they're saying.
They're saying the government's going to set up brothels. But even that idea expressed in words is not as evocative as these images in the ethnic press, where you're seeing a picture of Trudeau next to a picture of a needle going into a person's body next to, like, you know, a woman soliciting. And, you know, basically they're telling you that your neighborhood is going to become some sort of a den of vice if Trudeau has his way.
The ethnic media has always been really important. It was one of those things that Jason Kenney built links to when he was immigration minister. And they will do a lot for their friend Stephen Harper. They'll go to bat for him and publish advertising like that that is so utterly ridiculous. There's no way that the government is going to take over the hook shop in my neighborhood. Those girls are definitely free enterprisers. If they're smart, they'll vote conservative for the tax breaks that they'll get. Nor is Teenage Jesus going to come around and hook you up with heroin or any of the other bad things that they're suggesting. And I don't think anybody in the world is stupid enough to believe that they will. But I guess the idea is to put this idea of menace out, that there won't be the order and the and maybe even there's a risk to property values if the immoral liberals take power. It's pretty weird stuff, and it's about as stupid as the let's make a deal, ka-ching, ka-ching stuff they've been doing, which is, I think, is about the dumbest political thing I've ever seen by someone outside of a municipality of 15,000.
I mean, I would say that it's racist because the insult to the intelligence of the Chinese and Punjabi community, except that the other tricks by the other parties don't afford any more intelligence, don't expect any more intelligence of Canadians than the Conservatives are. I mean, that's the common thread here, is they all seem to think that we are really, really stupid.
I don't know how you get someone to change their vote at this point. You know, I look at the, what is it, 9% that are undecided and think, are any of those people going to vote for Harper, say, based on the ads like that or the ka-ching thing? I wonder if it's just a matter of them deciding on which of the opposition parties to support. I think half of it is stuff that we hear as utterly non-decided voters, you and I. I've already voted, by the way. And the stuff that's put out there to sort of give strength of heart to the people who are still pounding on doors. So that if you're walking around as a Tory in BC and you know, where it's very tight with the Liberals right now, and you're knocking on doors, and you might just get a little pick-me-up by knowing that the government, Conservative Party, is out there doing everything it can. That's obviously everything it can to win this campaign, even though we know that they've lost this campaign. It's the first campaign that I think Stephen Harper's ever lost. I expected him to come up. I bet accordingly. And I'm really surprised that he's done so poorly in this campaign.
Let's talk about me, if we can, just for a minute. Canada Land had a story this week about the Globe and Mail's big feature on Tom Mulcair. Why don't I let you summarize it as best you can? What did we write about the Jeffrey Simpson, Thomas Mulcair profile?
Well, from what I can see, and I've seen some stuff today, but I've been running around a lot today, Jeffrey Simpson was assigned to write a 10,000-word piece on Tom Mulcair for the near the end of the election features that they do. From the looks of things, and I really only read your story, Simpson asked Mulcair's people for 10 weeks for an interview. What, 7 or 8 times or something? Anyway, over and over again, made it very clear that he needed to talk to Mulcair for this piece. Now, I don't know whether he told him it was going to be this giant piece or not, but when Jeffrey Simpson's doing reporting instead of a column, it makes you know that this is something important. And the Mulcair campaign didn't give him access until second last day before the piece was going into production. Which meant editing, into layout, into all the stuff they do to get a gigantic piece like that into a weekend paper. Now, for people who don't write, 10,000 words is a huge piece. You're talking about something maybe 3 times the size of a Walrus article, 20 times the size of a standard newspaper story. It's a lot of work. It's a very difficult thing to craft well. And Simpson decided that he was not going to take them up on their offer of a midnight interview. Now, where it gets really bad for the Globe in this is that in the way they handled it, where Simpson basically treated you like you were some kind of cross between a troubled person and someone who'd been hit on the head too many times, and really did not explain very carefully why he chose to not take the NDP up on their offer. Now, you got into it with a lot of people in terms of the headline where you said that they refused an interview. That was sort of a stretch. It's technically true. I wouldn't want to have to put on a robe and defend you on that one, though, in the sense that if you looked at the holistic picture, isn't that nice, you would see that basically Mulcair's people screwed this up, not the Globe. But the other side of the coin is, what do you do in a situation like that, where you can at least get a denial into the thing where Tom Mulcair denies that he is a reptilian kitten eater, has 6 wives, you know, drowned his cat, you know, all that kind of stuff, which apparently was the sort of stuff that turned up in this article. Now, you would have to put a sharp instrument right on my jugular vein to get me to read 10,000 words of Jeffrey Simpson. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And I wonder why the Globe chose Simpson to write it, because really, that's like asking Andrew Coyne to review my book. You're like, are you serious? And that might have been something that motivated the Mulcair people, the idea that they couldn't get a fair shake. The other side of the coin is, Tom Mulcair is in the snake oil business. And if he can't sell snake oil to everybody, then he's not good enough snake oil salesman to be Prime Minister of Canada. If you're a candidate and the Globe and Mail is knocking on your door, and you're running for Prime Minister of Canada, that you're an idiot if you don't sit down and at least give it a try to get, A, your side of the story. Because they're not going to not run the story like some paper would in, say, Barrie, Ontario. Oh, well, don't have both sides of the story. We can't run the story. They're going to run it.
Sure.
If Mulcair's people didn't know that, then How the hell did they get the job? Mulcair has to try and sell that snake oil to Jeffrey Simpson. And if he's a good enough snake oil salesman, he might be able to pull it off. Because, I mean, Jeffrey Simpson, you know, is half bright. But, you know, everybody's susceptible to the charms, even of the Tom Mulcairs of the world. So you give it a crack. And it's the Globe and Mail, for Christ's sake. It's, you know, it's boggling that they would be that dumb. And I'm taking up all the time here. But I think what we're seeing is the effect of that rope-a-dope campaign they were doing. Remember how I said these guys lost the campaign themselves? And you said, yeah, they just basically stood there and let Trudeau run around them and decide, you know, where he was going to position things. This 10 weeks fell into that, and they thought they had a winner. Big Tom was going to take them into the Langevin block, and they were all going to be, you know, making 150 grand a year as chiefs of staff. And they forgot that people changed their minds. And that if you do the rope-a-dope thing, that's maybe an analogy that's lost on people, but if you play defense when you're in opposition, you're not going
to
win.
There's some great questions there for Thomas Mulcair that I think that I want to know the answer to. Why
you should call him up and ask for an interview.
Well, the thing about that is that I cover the media, so I'm very curious as a voter and as a citizen about why Tom Mulcair employed that strategy with the Globe and Mail. And I know that you always get better coverage, even if it's your worst critic doing the story on you. And there is a big question there as to why Ian Brown was assigned to Justin Trudeau and why Jeffrey Simpson. I mean, forget about being critical. You bring up a point, like, it's just going to be so dull on Mulcair that there's just so much more juice in that. That's such a better deal for Trudeau than for Mulcair. But you give the interview. So I'm very curious as to why Mulcair's strategy went the way it did. But, you know, my focus is on the media. And you summarized that. Of course, I would have said it differently. But the only thing I really want to take issue with is the fact of when the NDP offered Jeffrey Simpson the interview. And I found out today that they offered it to him on Tuesday. They offered him a phone interview for the Saturday paper. And certainly,
when's the production day, though? A lot of those sections are printed days before the paper comes out. Like, you have
Simpson's deadline was Thursday afternoon, which leads us to believe that there was still Friday to do final edits. And certainly, as you say, a 10,000-word piece, that's not what Simpson wanted. But that's what was offered. You know, it's not by your terms. Let me flip it, Mark. Let me flip this one. And let me try to make the Globe's case as if it had happened to me, okay? So, listen, I'm really pissed off because I've been working on this big feature podcast on Stephen Harper, right? And I gave him 10 weeks notice that I was working on a podcast about him. I told his people 10 weeks ago, Canada Land is doing this definitive podcast on Stephen Harper. I got nothing back from him. So I went, you know, that's not going to stop me. I interviewed his critics. I interviewed Michael Harris. I interviewed Mark Burry. Paul Watson went to high school with Harper. I got stuff from him. I found this great anonymous source who gave me all kinds of dirt on Harper. I put the whole thing together. I laid in all kinds of music. I did tons of work on it. And then 4 days before I'm going to publish the damn thing, Harper's people say, Stephen, we'll give you a phone interview. And I told them to go to hell because that's not how we do things here at Canada Land. We don't take a phone interview at the last minute. This was clearly a political tactic and I wasn't going to be played. And I mean, imagine if, Mark, okay, end scene.
You've got the right kind of, Jeffrey Simpson, as I said in my book, is the cutting edge of conventional wisdom in this country. We're talking about somebody who has lived a life of extreme privilege, running up against a bunch of, basically, politics is a world of thugs now. And being so, I think, in some ways frustrated and angry at that fact, that he basically just said, well, I'm going to close the Globe to you. You're not going to get in to the Globe and Mail.
That's it. That's it, Mark. It was, he had a tantrum and it was that blue blood thing of, and he said it. He said he was insulted by the NDP's lack of courtesy and therefore he's going to go ahead and publish anonymous criticism of Mulcair when he could have called up, he had the opportunity to call up Mulcair and at the very least go through the quotes and say, did this actually happen? Do you have anything you want to say in response? Which is like, isn't that just the basic minimum of what we're supposed to do?
There's a point at which you would be able to get the stuff into the article and work it in so that there's some sort of flow to it. That's the optimum. That's the thing you want when you're asking 10 weeks ahead, 8 weeks ahead, 4 weeks ahead, that you can incorporate this stuff as threads and themes and arcs in this gigantic piece, because you have to remember that this is a piece that you really want people to read, and 10,000 words is huge.
You want to make it pretty. You're building a whole story. You want to make it beautiful. And
you want people to read it. You're going to end up with sore shoulders. It's 10,000 words is about 10 to 12 single-spaced 10-point pages on a computer. So that gives you an idea of how much typing that is, let alone something that's done creatively. Now, after you get to that point where you can't really work that stuff in an artistic way, then there's a point, and I would say 4 days is definitely in there, where you can at least get the stuff in. And then at a certain point, unartistically, and then at a certain point, you would have the ability, well, you'd be in a situation where you couldn't really work into the story, but you might want to write a sidebar or something, right? Tom Alcaris says, blah, blah, blah. Now, the upside of that is you got a side, and the downside is probably people are going to read the sidebar more than they're going to read your 10,000-word opus, but at least you've got it in. If it really was that amount of time, if there was days and days and days, if Simpson wasn't actually looking at an edited article or piece that's, you know, questions to be answered and all of the sort of track changes on his computer, then he should have got Mulcair in. It's a matter of percentages. It's like the closer they got to the deadline, the more the percentages work in Simpson's favor. But when you're talking about 4 days away, then I think you're going up from, say, 5% in Mulcair's favor to closer to 20-25%. I'd still want to get Mulcair's press people and ask them why in the world they thought that was a good idea.
These are all good questions, but I'll just say this. My lawyer wouldn't let me run that. If I said I've got this story with anonymous criticism and I've got an opportunity to interview the candidate and get their take on it, but it's cutting it a bit short, my lawyer would say you can't publish that. That won't withstand a responsible communication defense.
Let's start with those polls.
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 Polls. Polls.
Ecos.
Ipsos. Numbers by nanos are never in doubt.
Well, there are polls and there are polls and the polls are different from everyone else.
Can we trust the goddamn polls at all?
No. I wouldn't be surprised if the conservatives, you know, won this election by 20 or 25 seats in a minority. The polls, they've had real serious problems over the last few years.
Aren't they based on prior elections? And isn't this election, I mean, you told me that you voted in the advance vote, 3.6 million, like 10% of the country, not the electorate, the country, have already voted, 70% higher turnout for the advance polls.
That says a lot.
Doesn't that tell you that anything could happen? That anything we say now, I mean, like, who the hell are we to try to handicap this in any way? It could be anyone still, couldn't it?
Do you think that people ran down early to vote for Stephen Harper?
I have no idea, but do you think that it's...
Really?
Are you sure that it's Trudeau?
My mother's a saint, you know. She was a scrutineer for the Conservatives in the last election. And she was just barely hanging on last time I talked to her to vote for Stephen Harper. I would say that she's my bellwether person. If he's lost my mom, he's not going to win this election in any shape or form. And if she sort of very grudgingly votes for him, then it would be a minority. I don't think anybody's all worked up to run down to vote for Stephen Harper. I think people who vote for him will trudge to the polls and hope that he gets back in and that this all just goes away. The people I know who went to vote in advance polls, other than ourselves, of course, because we're ruthlessly objective, were people who were very determined to see Stephen Harper out of power.
Yeah, but I'm smart enough to know that I'm dumb. I'm not calling this any which way. When you got that 70% new voters, I'm not saying that it's anybody's. I mean, nothing would surprise me.
Like, someone in our office poll is going to look like a genius, and the rest of us are going to look like idiots. I mean, that's the way polling works sometimes too. And if you go into polling, look at polling data, and see how many elections they've blown, including in 2011, you realize that it's not an exact science at all. It sort of looks like one because they have numbers and graphs and things, but whether people lie to them or whether they don't get a hold of people or whether people who are only really sort of worked up about things actually give them an answer, those are problems that the polling industry itself has to sort of deal with and work through. And I think until they do, we're going to see major screw-ups. And anything can happen. It could be that that people get confident, or it could be that the polls are totally wrong and that the people who are sure that Stephen Harper's done are all talking to themselves on Twitter, and there's a whole world of people that we don't know who are very quietly, you know, going to get in the car, like my mom, and head down and vote conservative. My mom's not on Twitter. She doesn't tell anybody who she votes for. Her idiot son gets on the radio and does that. That may be Stephen Harper's salvation.
I have the email. September 28th, Mark Burry.
I was sure. I put money, and I said to Paul Wells on Twitter, you know, I don't think my $5 is in any jeopardy. Like 6 weeks ago, I think I said that. And he retweeted it to make sure that, you know, everybody knew my fabulous wisdom. And I would say 6 weeks ago that this guy couldn't be beat. But boy, when the wind goes out of the sails, It really does. And
hey, who knows? Who knows? Mark, your money's as good as anyone else's. Harper majority.
It's good enough for Canada Land t-shirt.
Hey, and we forgot to say, Mark Burry, Canada Land supporter. Thanks very much, Mark.
No problem. Thank you.
That was your Canada Land shortcuts. Hope you enjoyed it. You can email me always. I read them all. I respond when I can. I'm at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I am on Twitter at Jesse Brown. Mark Burry, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Mark Burry.
Our website is canadalandshow.com, and our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. The show is produced by Katie Jensen. The next episode of Canada Land will drop on Election Day, Monday, October 19th. Go out and vote. And that night, come on out. If you live in Toronto or can get to Toronto, come to the Monarch Tavern for the Canada Land Election Night Viewing Party / Canada Land Commons live taping. There will be a live podcast on election night after we know who the next prime minister is, after everything is known. The Commons guys will be going live with a live streaming podcast. You can check out our website for details on that, or you can listen to it on Tuesday. If you like this show, please support it. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.